Welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast, your home for grand growth through collaboration. This is your space to connect, create, and collaborate in a community of heart-centered entrepreneurs and change makers. Hosted by our community, this podcast brings collaboration to life. You will meet members who share their wisdom, offer insights and practical tips, and even interview each other. If you're ready for more clarity, stronger connections, and better results in your business, you are in the right place. Listen in, connect with us, and be part of something grand.
Welcome back to the Grand Connection Podcast. I'm Jeff Ostroff, a Grand Connection member who's a podcast and mini-meet host and collaborator here at the GC. Today, we continue our three-part series on the neuroscience of connection. In episode one, Ray McCauley walked us through the three key brain networks that strengthen the first step of our CCC framework, connect, which then allows us to create ideas together and eventually collaborate with more ease and authenticity. In this second episode, Ray's going to guide you through a simple practice that helps you shift into a calm presence. Ray is a valued contributor in the Grand Connection community. She's a neurocoach and mindfulness educator who helps purpose-driven professionals apply the latest discoveries in neuroscience to create meaningful, lasting change. Okay, let's get started with episode number two. Ray, I'm finding this whole topic really fascinating. Before we dive into this a little bit further in episode two, can you please share with everyone a quick recap of what you covered in episode one?
Yes, I can. So the major thing we covered in episode one was the three brain networks, three key brain networks. These three key networks create our perception of reality. So that, just take that in for a moment, and here's what they are. This one here is focused attention. It looks out into the world and looks for something to have, to do, be, or have. It makes the final decision after we make strategy of what we're going to choose. It's the final decision maker. So that's enough. We're going to just give a simple explanation of each network for right now. There's a network here at the top of your head that does strategy making, storytelling, meaning making. It makes predictions. It shows up as your inner speech. And it entertains both a negative and a positive bias as part of its strategy making. So these two work together to go find something and how to get it. Now, there's a third network, and this is a key network for those of us that are interested in being more mindful about our lives. This network is called the salience network. It's more like it's underneath this network up here, the default mode network. The salience network is where we access insights, intuitions, ahas, social connectedness, to name a few. It also has a deep value, what we value. So it's, if we were going to personify these networks, this one is like the wise, more conscious one. Okay. All right. These guys are, let's go get it and get it done.
Okay.
And describe what's going on.
Okay.
So we talked about these three key networks and that you can deliberately access them. You can learn to recognize them and access them on purpose. You have choice. They do run automatically, but you can deliberately access them, particularly the salience network. So we also talked a little bit about how understanding how to use these networks, to understanding, first of all, what they are, to recognize when we're in them, and to choose to network switch helps us create more connection. Creation, create, and collaborate, which is what Grand Connections is all about.
Perfect. I do want to encourage people to listen to episode one. If they missed it, you can find out how to access episode one in the show notes. We'll move on now. You mentioned something there, Ray, which I've also heard you talk about before, something to do with network switching. Okay. So for those of us who may not be familiar with that, I think you call it sometimes brain network switching. Can you tell us what that's about? What's the relevance of it?
Yes, it's relatively new science that's actually proved the efficacy of this. So the science studies was done on gamers, and what they discovered is that when gamers are in focused attention, this network here, strategy making, you know, how do I do it, and drop into what they value, right? Or intuition, insights and intuitions, that those switching of those three networks produces a state of flow. So what we've done, what I've done, is taken that information and used it deliberately in practices to brain network switch throughout the day to gain the basic skill set of being able to do this. First of all, recognizing what network is active and really understanding through experience that we can influence that. We can say, I'm doing too much strategy making right now. I need an insight. And in a minute, we're going to show you a practice to do that will allow you to access the network that will give you an insight. Or we can go the other direction. We can say, I'm thinking too much because this guy's on all the time. The default network is on all the time. We can say, well, it's a little hard for me right now to drop into, you know, being still or present moment awareness, which we'll get to in a minute. So I'm going to do some focused attention stuff. I'll go wash the dishes or clean the house or focus on something. So anything at all to break up this guy a little bit, because this one can, quite frankly, get us into a little trouble.
I'll bet. And so I get it. I get it, because you've talked about three networks, and this is all about shifting from one network to another one of those three, depending on what the circumstances are.
Yes.
And particularly that salience network, if we're looking for insights and
yes,
that sort of thing. So you had mentioned this mindful minute exercise or experience, which is, I think, one of the cores of your program, your self-mastery yes program. And so it makes good sense at this point, I think, to demonstrate this to everybody. And I want to turn it over to you and let you set the stage for how do we do this mindful minute.
All right, Jeff. And I'm going to invite us both to do it together, to actually do it. And then we can talk about it a little afterwards of what it was like to do it. And those out there in the audience, if you're not driving and you can be in a safe and comfortable place where you won't be interrupted, hopefully, you can do it along with us. Or if you're driving, just listen. So here's what the mindful minute does. The mindful minute, when we do it, increases cerebral spinal fluid flow, which will wash your brain. It gives your brain a wash. So it's brain hygiene. It lowers the temperature in your face and in your brain, which is a good thing. Your brain heats up with use, just like a car when you're driving it.
Okay.
So it also, by the end of the practice, it releases neurochemicals that reduce your stress and boost your immune system, and also can set you on a kind of an even keel of gentle motivation for the next hour. So that's the biological shifts you get. You get a lot out of this simple practice. There's a phenomenon that will happen in the middle of the practice when we do it. We're going to do three stretches and yawns. This is the part that increases the cerebral spinal fluid flow and lowers the temperature. We're going to do sensory awareness, and I'll guide us through it when we do it, which is like gentle stroking of some sort, or we can feel the sides of your face, or gently rub your palms together in a very slow and soft way. That brings us from focused attention. It starts to give us the journey into the salience network. So we're doing brain network switching during this. We're doing focus attention. We have a goal. We're going to do this thing. We're doing strategy. Here are the steps of how to do it, and doing the steps. And then the elevator ride down into the salience network. So we're accessing the salience network. The salience network is where we experience present moment awareness. They did studies with monks and nuns that meditated and prayed 4 to 6 hours a day for up to 50 years. And the thing they saw is when those monks and nuns felt that deep connection with a greater whole, that it was the salience network that was lighting up. The interesting thing is this mindful minute done regularly does the same thing. Your brain will evolve the way those monks and nuns.
Yeah.
You have to do it every day.
Okay.
All right. So you get a lot out of this. Another thing that happens when you do this mindful minute throughout the day, and each individual has to decide how many times they can actually do it, but it tends to break up the habituated way we run through our day. And in that moment that we'll get to of slowing everything down through sensory awareness and slowing down and slowing down until there's a moment of stillness. And then what we're going to do is we're going to witness that moment. Now, people often ask me how I do it, but you just do it. You'll come to stillness. You're going to slow down and come to stillness, and then you witness it. After that moment of stillness, we're going to ask for a word that represents something that has deep meaning for us. This is the part that releases the neurotransmitters that reduce stress, boost the immune system, and make us feel good. So that's what we're going to do. That's what it does for us. There's that key moment of the metta awareness in the middle. That's being aware that we're aware.
So it's meta awareness. It's called meta awareness.
It's called meta awareness.
Okay.
That moment of stillness is awareness, is present moment awareness. Thanks. A good question, Jeff. That moment of stillness is present moment awareness. Being aware that we were present in that moment is meta awareness. And it's a key component of our self-mastery course. And this practice I'm going to teach you, I really encourage everyone to keep doing. If I had one thing to give people, it would be this. So are you ready to do it?
Yeah, it sounds very powerful for a minute. Okay.
Yeah. So the thing you've got to get over is that it's not okay to yawn, that it's rude to yawn. It's okay to yawn.
Okay.
So we're going to do a nice, slow stretch and yawn. Which at this point feels good because our brains are a little heated up. It's okay to close your eyes. If you can't yawn, there's a trick where you imagine someone yawning and it helps you to yawn. You can also open your mouth a little and smile and breathe in, and that can help you yawn. It's okay to say, And then slow everything down because the default mode network is going to want to start describing what's going on. It'll just slow it all down and go into some form of sensory awareness. Very slow. Go in slow motion. Even slower. You can notice how the breath feels going in and out of your nostrils. How the air feels on your skin. And then just continue to let everything slow down, giving allowing yourself to drop from doing into being. And even if it's just a second, notice when you get that moment of stillness. Once you do, ask for a word that represents a deep value, something that has meaning for you. And if it's hard to slow everything down to stillness, just do more stretches and yawns. The stretch and the yawn is the elevator ride down to the Salience Network. So you have it, Jeff?
I do.
So, Jeff, I'm going to ask you a question. Sure. What was that like for you to do that? What are you feeling right now?
Well, it may be violating the program's rules, but I feel two words, at ease. At ease.
Nice.
I guess we could say relax, but I feel at ease. It was like a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem yawning. I would like to actually yawn more. I tend only to yawn at nighttime. That's when I really do my yawning, or maybe when I first get up. So it was nice to be able to yawn. It's a good feeling. But generally, I just felt at ease and relaxed.
Yes, that's what happens. So one could see how this could be a great de-stressor.
Absolutely.
And what was your value word, if you don't mind sharing it?
I think tranquility.
Lovely.
Tranquility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was love.
Love.
When I do the Mindful Minute, and of course I'm guiding everyone through it, but I do the Mindful Minute many times a day, I always notice my shoulders drop. I don't realize that I have this thing of raising my shoulders, but they just drop down.
Which is great.
And it feels so good. Like, I feel more relaxed, too.
That is great, because I know, Ray, that if I'm using my keyboard, mm-hmm. there's a tendency for my shoulders and my upper body to stiffen up. So something that would cause them to be more limp would be terrific.
It really helps. So when we share a value together like this, particularly after a Mindful Minute, after yawning and stretching in a Mindful Minute, it sets us up to be more in rapport with one another. Yeah, it deepens rapport and safety.
You're talking about connection again.
Yes.
Did you want to say anything more? You touched on it, Ray, about meta-awareness and its purpose.
Yes. So the nice thing about meta-awareness is it is some kind of special alchemy. And it's now, people who practice certain meditative practice will say, oh yeah, I know that, to be the witness. But remember, this is something science is talking about now. Science wants to prove it. So there is something about the meta awareness that's a game changer. So what's nice about meta-awareness is it's embedded in the Mindful Minute, which, remember, is a beautiful brain hygiene practice. The other thing the Mindful Minute does is it calms down the vagus nerve, which is the longest nerve in your body. It runs from the base of your brain all the way down to your pelvis. So that's the theory, is that's part of the de-stressing. Your body actually, and mine does, my body just relaxes.
Wow. It makes perfect sense.
Yes. And to go back to meta-awareness, there in that embedded in the Mindful Minute is that aware second. And when we meta-aware it, right, we can take that as a separate practice throughout the day and just notice a second of awareness. So I call those aware seconds. Just to be aware for a second. Now, here's what the science shows. The science shows that the Mindful Minute does the same thing as about 40. Now, this is over time. It's not just one Mindful Minute, as 40 minutes of meditation.
Wow.
The aware seconds throughout the day also does the same thing for the brain changes of your salience network lighting up. So most of us that do the mindful minute do it with a little timer, a bell that goes off to remind us. But the aware seconds can be serendipitous throughout the day.
That's a day. That is remarkable. And it's really just being in the moment. It's being present for that 1 second to know I'm here now. It's almost like a little timeout to I'm here checking in. Everything's okay. I love it. I'm thinking, Ray, about practicality in a different sense. So if somebody was going to be at a meeting, engaging in a conversation, or maybe at a networking event, such as we do during the Grand Connection meetings, how can this be used? How can this mindful minute be used? Maybe the aware second be used? How can this stuff be used?
Yes. So we think of connection, create, and collaborate. Connection is the first step. So when we do a mindful minute and we stretch and yawn, the very latest science, like only 2 months old, is they're doubling down on studying yawning. We've known about it for a long time, but for some reason, yawning is getting a lot of attention. And yawning helps us connect.
Wow.
It does. That's the theory. It helps us connect. All right. Now, we'll remember at the end of the mindful minute, when we access that value, we're loaded up with a value, we're coming into a meeting with feel-good neurotransmitters in our bloodstream. So we come in with a natural smile on our face. We come in more able to be curious, less, you know, goal-driven, less, I'm going to go get this, and more, oh, I'm going to be curious and maybe even playful about all of this. It sets us up to be in flow.
Being in flow is so critical.
Yeah. And the more, yes, it is. It is. And the more we do this, the more natural it becomes for us to do this. It's easier and easier to access. So those of you who might have had a problem with doing this the first time, keep doing it. And that's what our self-mastery program is all about. It's about learning this, and it's about having the support for continuing it.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. One other thing I want to ask you about in this episode is I know that this mindful minute exercise that you've been talking about and that we just did is one of the core practices in your self-mastery program. What do you tell people like me and people are listening that they need to do? And you sort of alluded to it there, but I think I need to hear more clearly, to make this stick.
To make it stick, if you have a reason, right? But a value-oriented reason. So if we think of those three networks that this guy is interested largely in making more money or having a good life. This one is figuring out, but this one drops into what's really important. So if you felt or intuited or got an insight of how this could be important in your life to have this capacity to deliberately access a state of flow, which will reduce your stress, you see. It also helps you be more creative and definitely helps you connect more. There's just no two ways about it. And we don't make those kind of statements, you know, lightly. The practice, people who practice this make these changes.
Yeah, and what's so powerful about this and hearing you talk about it, Ray, is that it doesn't sound like it's something that's going to take a lot of time in the doing of it. It's more about the consistency of doing it, and it's more about the fact that I think what you said is don't expect necessarily that you're going to get the maximum benefit from it by doing it for 1 day. This might take some time, and maybe we'll talk more about that in episode 3.
Yes, we will. It takes the brain about 90 days to grow a new neuron to hold a new habit.
Yeah.
I'll just leave that as a teaser for next time.
Okay. This is really, again, so interesting, Ray. And I love the practical nature of it. And I get excited about the fact that the information you're providing to us, a lot of it is really new, relatively speaking, stuff. I mean, some of it you said is even the last few months, I think. So just a reminder to everybody that our third and final episode will focus on Ray talking about the science of change and habit formation and more about the self-mastery program that she teaches. So Ray, thanks again, and we'll join everybody in episode 3.
That wraps up episode number 2. I hope the Mindful Minute gave you a sense of what's possible when we slow down and step into presence. If you're interested in learning more about Ray or the Neuroscience of Connection Self-Mastery Program, you'll find the details in the show notes or at grandconnection.ca/self-mastery. In episode 3, we'll explore the science of change and how you can build the habits that make connection feel natural and sustainable. I hope you'll join us.
Thank you for joining us on the Grand Connection podcast, where we achieve grand growth through collaboration together. If this episode sparked something for you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend looking for a community to support their growth. Before we sign off, today is a grand day to reach out to someone in your own network and reconnect. You never know where one conversation can lead. Until next time, let's connect, create, collaborate.